This is Sheila Bender, and you are listening to In Conversation, Discussions on Writing and the Writing Life. Today we have with us Colorado poet Laura Weaver. She has a master's degree, and she's not only a poet, but an author of other books, a teacher, a guide, and organizational consultant with over two decades of experience in writing, education, leadership, healing, and nonprofit and social change work. Over the last 25 years, Laura has offered courses, retreats, and workshops on women's leadership, poetry and writing, rites of passage, equity, and heart-centered education. She co-authored the book, The Five Dimensions of Engaged Teaching, and has published dozens of poems, book chapters, blogs, and essays. Her experience with her own healing journeys deeply inform her writing and work as a soul guide for others who are going through significant passages. Laura has been rooted in Boulder, Colorado for the last 20 years, where she is daily inspired by wide open spaces, audacious wildflowers, snow-fed streams, and diamond nights. Her book of poems is titled Luminous, Poems and Inquiry for the Soul's Journey. You can read more about Laura Weaver and her work at lauraweaver.org. Laura, I'm so excited to talk to you. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Sheila. It's a pleasure to be here, and I'm excited for our conversation.
As I read your bio with all the wonderful lists in it, I was so aware of how lists help poets and how they work in poetry. And I was also, having read Luminous, very aware of just how much you're inspired by your surroundings in Colorado. So I'd like to start by asking you about the serious background you have in social change and your personal journey work, and before that, teaching. So where in that life did your poetry start?
Oh, well, my poetry began really as soon as I began to be able to write when I was a girl. It was really, in some ways, my first language, I think my primary soul language. And so I've really been writing my poetry my whole life. And it was in my 20s when I kind of made the claim that I wanted to make that more a part of my work in the world and went to poetry school. And
I like that, poetry school.
Yes, and began teaching and publishing and sharing poetry. And it's been a long birthing to bring this book into form, but it's been a good journey.
And how long would you say that birthing was?
You know, I would say that the preparations, and there's hundreds and hundreds of poems that have been written before, during, and after this process. And so the poems that are in this book are really from probably the last 5 years, but I would say they come from my entire life, the richness, the harvest from my entire life. Mm-hmm. So in that way, it's a decades-long birthing, but the more immediate process is in probably the last 5 years.
I think it takes a life to write well, even about the earlier parts of our lives. We grow, and then our writing not only grows, but our writing knows how to use that growth. So that said, would you like to read Making Passage, which appears on your website?
Thank you. So this is a poem that comes from the first section of the book, which is on initiations. And it's, this whole section is really about the different passages we go through in our lives and those places of in-between. It's like swimming across a river with our eyes closed, this passage through the center of our life. Sometimes we have to navigate from the inside out when the stars hide their light, when we cannot see the bank on the other side, when the hounds of our past bark on the shoreline, braying their mournful song at our leaving. It is the stillness at the center of the fire that guides the voice of our angel of mercy that rings out when we look over our shoulder at the old life with longing. You cannot go back, she says. That place is gone now. And for a moment, we freeze in the river, sure we will drown, forgetting which way is up and down, forward and back. As the roar of the roiling rapids pours through us, the heart filled with all the questions that have refused to leave us alone. And then something remembers itself, lifts our shoulders above the swirling cauldron of in-between, and we simply let go of the fight to stay. The tangled paradoxes flow on through the body of the river, and we are carried by an invisible current that draws us closer and closer to the edge of a new world. On our knees, we find root and ground, give thanks for this fertile soil seeded with our dreams, thirsty for our arrival.
Thank you, Laura. That's actually a very exhilarating poem to listen to. I love some of your language. I can hear poetry school in a very good way. The roar of roiling rapids, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the hounds of our past and the moment when a person realizes whatever old life they're romanticizing or feel had safety for them isn't there anymore. I think poets almost live that with every poem, because every poem marks some sort of passage to a new way of seeing in their lives. Do you have that experience?
Yeah, that's a beautiful way of saying it. Yes, I think the poems do come from that, shifts of awareness and also crystallizations of certain moments in time, of course. But yes, I think they're a way of writing ourselves into a new way of being. And that's partly why in this book I wanted to include also reflections, which would also invite the reader to consider the kinds of passages and journeys that they're making in their own lives. So in this book, I've included reflections after each poem for that, to make it more of an interactive experience for people.
So maybe you could describe a little bit more about the structure of that book.
Sure. So there's four sections to the book, and it's really designed to be a guide in a way, or a map through the soul's journey that we all take. We all take this journey of the soul in our lifetime, whether it's intentional and conscious or not. And this book is hopefully a guide or a support for each person to more intentionally take their journey. And so I've included reflection questions along the way so that that inquiry can really support readers to dive deeper into the poetry and also know the places it might touch in their own selves.
What would be the reflections for the particular poem that you just read?
The two reflections for this poem are, what passage are you in the midst of right now? And what questions refuse to leave you alone?
Mm. So you're inviting the reader to have permission, basically, to engage with the feelings and thoughts they have after reading your poem.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. I feel like one of the things that happened for me coming out of poetry school was the realization that, you know, poetry has been sort of cloistered for a long time in the world of academia. And I feel like there's been poets and like our Blessed Mary Oliver, who just passed over, who have invited us to bring poetry back into the center of our lives together. And so that's part of my desire, too, is to help poetry come back into the center, to be part of the everyday in our own conversations with ourselves and each other.
Right. I went to poetry school in the early 80s and very much experienced what you were talking about poetry being somehow special and cloistered among just a few people. And those people were very condemning of anything that they felt was what they labeled confessional poetry, which, of course, that's an actual term used to label certain poets from that time and before, but they were squeamish about revealing autobiographical information. And I've watched during all these decades the change in some of those very same poets who are writing the kinds of poetry now that they would have condemned us for in class. And then what you're doing, and speaking of Mary Oliver doing, is taking it even further into encouraging people to not analyze poetry, but to articulate what feelings arise in them from having listened to or read a poem. That engagement, I think some of our national poet laureates certainly worked in that way. So it's been exhilarating, and I think your way of formatting your book into your four sections, which I'm going to have you name in a minute, and also having these reflection questions, is courageous, because it's not the kind of thing that the industry, the poetry industry, has praised.
Right.
So
yes, well, there was a place that I came to in my own kind of poetry career where I was doing the more academic poetry work and publishing in that way. And then it was really when I came to certain places in my own journey, and in particular in my healing journey, where it was like I almost gave myself full permission to speak my soul's true voice and without concern for what school of poetry it was in, or whether I was a lyrical poet, or if I was avant-garde enough. I think that the other place I've seen that really being exploding is that just this return to our love of the ecstatic poets, which is the kind of poetry that really deeply inspires me as well, which comes from a different place. I mean, I celebrate all forms of poetry. I think it's really about each of us claiming what's our own true voice.
I think so, too. Yeah. I'm just aware, though, of the word soul when I was at poetry school at the University of Washington, and I'm wondering where your poetry school was. Where was that?
The University of Colorado. So right here.
Good programs all, but for me, that word soul was one among the list of overused, the pronounced list of overused words, and we had to not use that word, and over these decades, I find that word again and again, but it seems again to carry meaning. I think what happened was it was overused, just like other words come to be overused or carry a lot of baggage with them because of commercial jingles or certain kinds of statements that float around. And so I think poets are the keepers of language, and in this case, the resurgence of the word soul. So how is the book, besides the reflections, how have you broken it down into parts? You mentioned that the poem you read came from the initiation part.
Yes. So there's four sections. The first section is called Initiation, and it's really about the initiatory passages of life, kind of moments of transformation, shift, rupture, where we're making those leaps into the unknown. The second section is called Revelation, and it's really about, in some ways, my love affair with the wild and wild spaces, the wild within and the wild without, about our connection to the natural world. And then the third section is called Creation, which is really about kind of our stories that are our own personal mythical journey, the mythos that we all live into, those stories that create us, create who we are. And then the final section is called Awakening, which is really, in a way, a celebration of the dance of the divine, sort of more in that ecstatic poet inspiration and in that conversation with whatever we would call God, whatever tradition we come from.
Mm-hmm. So I'm aware that you start your book with a note to you the reader, and an invitation to understand the way this structure works, which I found beautifully written and also extraordinary. So what you say, I'll read back to you your words in one of the paragraphs, is after each poem you will find a few reflection questions to support you to make your own personal connections to the poems. Please journal, inquire, ask questions, wonder, dream alongside these poems, write your own soul poems. It is up to all of us to keep the language of the soul alive in this era of sound bites, commodification, and soul-numbing overstimulation and trauma. In the beginning, there was the word. In the beginning, there was the song. Just beautiful and inspiring, and a wonderful invitation to people to read poetry. And I wonder if you're rubbing up against, in your work, people's fear of poetry, that they won't understand it, they won't know what it means. Do you have those encounters?
Yes, I think in part because of the divide we've been speaking to around where people have felt alienated by poetry in our common world. And I think it is a very fine line we were speaking to, that we don't want to live in a world of cliches, recycled language. And I think we all, as poets and as people, revising our language and our language both shapes who we are, and we're shaped by language both. So I think that's a part of my desire, has been to create a poetry that feels like it's my authentic voice, and then I in the being in the trust that that connects with other people's authentic voice, and that they can find themselves in the work itself.
Right. As you're talking, I'm thinking about all the retweeting people do without changing anything. They just retweet. Wouldn't it be fun to write a poem called Retweeting?
Yeah.
But every new tweet has something new in it. That would be kind of fun.
Yes.
You are listening to KPTZ 91.9 FM, Port Townsend. In case you just joined us, you are listening to In Conversation with Sheila Bender, discussions on writing and the writing life. Sheila is talking today with Colorado poet and spiritual guide Laura Weaver about the poems in her book, Luminous, Poems and Inquiry for the Soul's Journey.
I'd love to hear another poem. Are you prepared to read Sacred Wound?
Yes, I am.
And I just want to add that this poem can be found on your website as well as in your book.
This poem actually came out of a retreat that I was in with a group of women, and I think one of the women challenged me to write a poem about the content that we were working with, which was about the connection between our wounds and our gifts. So that's where this poem came from. In every being, there lives a wound. This is the nature of being born here in a body like this. And in every life, there is a choice to wrap ourselves around that wound, protective of its shape, its cadence, its nuance, to build our life around that story, or to extend through the fire of pain to a new horizon. The seed knows this, how to arise from the dark, tight curl of the pod to break ground, as does the monarch as it emerges from the chaos of its own dissolution into winged delight. It is the impossible miracle of the heart that brings us to the hearth of our own awakening, that risks broaching illusory walls, that opens against all odds, seeing we have nothing to lose but our own false protection, our own holding back. In every being, there is a wound, a fissure where sacred longing is born. So our gifts can be revealed. So our gifts can be given.
Thank you again. Beautiful. I love the image of the seed knowing how to uncurl and come from the dark, the earth, among many other parts of the poem. You really take us on a journey. So that leads me to ask you how you, and you said that this came out of the experience of being challenged to write a poem about the work you were doing in that time with those people. How does the kind of work you do inform your poetry? I think we've already seen that, but I'd love to hear you address it. And how does your poetry inform the work that you're doing?
In other parts of my life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I feel like, so poetry is threaded through, as I was speaking to earlier, threaded through my life since I was a young one. And I feel like the poetry is, in a way, an expression of my passionate love affair with life that we probably all have in different ways. And my work springs from that same place. I'm thinking of the repair of the world, the part of my passion to contribute to the repair of the world. That shows up in my work that I do in education, in the social justice work that I've done, also in my work with Pachamama Alliance that connects people from the north and the south in service of sustainable living for all. And that all comes from this, I would say, same place of passionate love for this beautiful world and life we've been given to steward and participate in.
Thank you. And in the poem you just read to us, is the phrase miracle of the heart?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It seems to say that too.
Yes. Well, I feel like that's one of the miracles that may perhaps save us in these times. You know,
I hope so.
Is a return to our hearts and to not being afraid of the heart and all that it cares for, all that it longs for, and its own language and direction.
I'd love to hear a couple more of your poems. Would you read to us Current, and which is from part 3, Creation, and maybe Awakening?
Yes.
Or in part 4, Awakening, the poem is called Cornucopia.
Yes, absolutely. This poem, Current, comes from my experience as a mother, which I was a young mama. I loved the experience of being pregnant, such a sensual experience, and also having this amazing relationship with my little one, my son at this time, that this is the poem is about, where we spent so much time in kind of the sensual, natural world and the connections between mothering and the wild. That's what's in this poem. So it's called Current. Today, when my son and I return to the winding river, I remember how long ago we walked here each morning through speckled forest light. I singing to him the earth's secrets before us, spotted bodies of salamanders, the globes of mayapples, the dense secrets of mud and reeds. I did not believe we would ever leave that place or those primordial days that merged one into the other. He edging out further and further from my body until he wandered out of that first fluid dream into the named world. And it was in those woods one summer, as he thrust his tiny hand into stream flow, released his maple leaf boat, and watched it disappear around the bend, that I first saw an image of him now, a man boy, emerging before me to say, "Here is the green heart of me. Put it in the current so it can swim.
I feel like you've written a poem as mother to all of us. Thank you. I am wanting you to tell us what the reflection questions are following that poem.
Sure. So the reflection questions are, when did your young green heart enter life's bigger current so you could learn to swim? And when have you let go of a phase of life or an era of a relationship or a bond with another so that necessary growth could happen? And I'm thinking here of just that beautiful, bittersweet love ache of letting our children grow into the bigger versions of themselves. And how many times that happens in life, you know, that right. letting go and in the heart.
Sometimes that letting go is, as your first poem that you read to us, makes us think is that we have to let go over and over again of parts of our lives, the old part, and that's bittersweet. So I like these questions. The first one made me smile hugely, and the second one made me very contemplative. So thank you. So we do have time to have a little more discussion, but also to hear the poem Cornucopia from the last section of your book called Awakening.
Cornucopia is the final poem in the book, and it's really about the feast of life. And it comes in this final section also, which is really kind of in this love affair with the dance with the divine. Cornucopia. Out of the empty vessel, the riot of the earth's wild feast laid before us daily in places we have forgotten to look. In the veins of the leaf in the sunlit corner of the room. In the depths of the tiger, iris of the daughter who has grown into a woman overnight. In the clear pools of water where night animals bend down and drink. If we have any task, it is this, to live in this exquisite seeing, to clear our eyes of the dust of memory and expectation that would leave us blind to what we most long for. Even in the leanest of years, when our bodies are racked with grief, there is more than enough beauty to feed all the species of this world. Take the Pleiades. Take Jupiter arcing west in the night sky. Take the bees that roll over on the flowers drunken with nectar. Take the globes of squash and the sagebrush in the russet hills. Take it all in. For even in the bones and cinders of the old world, children reach into pockets for marbles, and a man gives another man his coat. Even in the skeletal remains of fields gone fallow, seeds settle and germinate. This cornucopia is what you have come for, this chance to tend the life within and without, to give back to that which gives, to be breathed one breath at a time.
Thank you again. We're running a little short on time. I'm sad about that because I could sit here all day and listen to you read from your book.
I do.
I want to remind listeners that you can learn more about Laura at lauraweaver.org. Yes. And also her book is Luminous. And lastly, Laura wanted to address the intersection or conjunction of healing and art. And I feel like I've experienced that listening to you. Is there any last word you'd like to have about that?
Well, I would just say that writing poetry has been part of healing my own body, mind, heart, and soul. It's a healing act, I feel like. It's a healing act that we can all do. I feel like our own creative life spark in that way can serve our own healing and the healing of each other and the healing of our world, ultimately.
It's a big goal, but it does start with us, doesn't it? Each one of us.
Yes, bringing our beautiful spark forward.
Right. And if you were to leave our listeners with a few words of advice about how they can follow up from listening to your poetry and your thoughts with opening their heart to this cornucopia that's in the world, from the bees tumbling on the flowers to Jupiter, it is a marvelous world. And what would you tell us?
Well, for me, and I think this also comes from going through healing journeys, the more present I think we can be in the moment and see what is actually being given and not what is lacking, the more able we are to really meet all that is here at this time, all that's breaking our heart, all that's bringing us joy. And for me, it's beauty in so many facets that nourishes us and brings us home and gives us the strength to go on and make the changes we want to make and be in this mysterious world with our full selves.
I want to add that listing, which you've done so beautifully in your poems, all the list of what is in Cornucopia and in your bio and many places in the way you talk in the book as well as in person. I think one gift you've given us is the ability to sit down and really list what we see from big to small without worrying about order or importance, like that bee tumbling on the flower is as big and as important as Jupiter and the stars. So I think that's a lesson well learned. And I just want to thank you so much for your time this morning and for the lovely, lovely words, Laura.
Thank you so much, Sheila. It's been such a joy to have this time together. I really appreciate it. And thank you for holding the space for writers to speak and share their work.
Thank you. And I thank all the listeners who are listening and changing their lives and definitely their relationship to poetry by listening to us talk. Thank you.
Thank you, Sheila. Take care.
In Conversation is produced by Sheila Bender and edited by Charlie Fleischman.